Ocean Front in Monrovia, Liberia. It's the first sign the Bush administration is following through on its promises to support peacekeeping efforts in the West African nation torn by civil war. As Priscilla Huff reports, President Bush wants one specific thing to happen before increasing the American presence.
Yeah, we would like Taylor out.
President Bush says the arrival of these troops is just part of what his administration wanted to do for the Liberians.
This is all part of funding what is necessary to help ECOWAS, now called Echo Mill, to go in and provide the conditions necessary for humanitarian relief to arrive.
At least three U.S. officials specializing in humanitarian aid were also with the U.S. Marines, and other American ships are poised to arrive just offshore. But for now, the Bush administration is watching and waiting to see if Liberian President Charles Taylor follows through on his promise to step down and leave. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
It's day four of extended negotiations between Verizon and the Communication Workers of America. There are slightly different versions of how well the talks are going between Verizon management and the union. Verizon management says bargainers have agreed to a basic framework on all the major issues and are in the process of finalizing many of the contract documents. The Communication Workers of America says a new contract is no closer to reality than it was 24 hours ago. Meanwhile, Verizon workers are still on the job after their contract expired last weekend.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
Iran's official news agency in Tehran has held positive and constructive talks with the UN's nuclear watchdog agency this week. The nuclear agency is trying to get Iran to sign up to stricter inspections of its nuclear sites. Roxana Saberi reports from Tehran.
Iran's official news agency is reporting that both Tehran and experts from the International Atomic Energy Agency have found their talks positive and constructive. The experts are in Tehran to discuss the possibility of Iran agreeing to unannounced and more intrusive inspections. Iran has come under increasing international pressure to sign the protocol to ease accusations it's pursuing nuclear weapons. But Iran's president is reiterating that possessing a nuclear weapon is not part of Iran's political or military strategy. At the same time, Mohammad Khatami says his country will not stop developing nuclear technology for peaceful uses. Iran has pledged to cooperate with the Atomic Energy Agency, which is due to release another report on Iran in September. Roxana Saberi, Tehran.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No. I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Problems with the flight deck of the aircraft carrier USS Ronald Reagan have forced the warship back to port in Newport News, Virginia. The problem involves cables designed to bring planes traveling at 150 miles an hour to a screeching halt in 320 feet. Officials say the pulley system crafted to help lift and guide the heavy arresting cables to the flight deck is not spinning the way it's supposed to. The Navy ceased all incoming flights and flight deck testing after the problem was discovered last week. The Daily Press says engineers are working to correct the malfunction. The aircraft carrier was just commissioned into service last month during a ceremony which former First Lady Nancy Reagan attended. It was a mixed day on Wall Street today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 25 points to 9061. The NASDAQ was down 21 to 1652. The S&P 500 was up 1.5 to 967. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. What could the Lost in Space robot and Star Wars R2-D2 have in common with a phenomenon called dieseling? Will Robinson and Luke Skywalker know? And when I come back, I'll tell you.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
Just like Will and Luke have some far-fetched friends to warn them of impending danger, your car has ways to warn you of the impending danger of neglected maintenance. One tune-up red flag is dieseling. Known as after-run, dieseling occurs when an engine chugs on after the ignition is turned off. Causes? Inferior gas, excessive idle speed, and carbon in the combustion chamber. Dieseling is just one warning that, if neglected, may leave you lost in space. The space alongside the road. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us! Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Vittman announces for us. Phone number is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937, or email us at mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. Weird day for political announcements, right? Jerry Springer was on, what was he on, Crossfire? Stating that he would not run for the Senate from Ohio because of his fears that the national news media would link him to half-naked rednecks. Throwing folding chairs on national television. And that that might interfere with any support he might get for his liberal ideas in the Senate. When I watched that, I did watch it. I did watch some television today, watch Crossfire. And in watching Jerry Springer talk, I thought, geez, this is interesting. This guy really comes across, at least in that context, as somebody who probably would do it, certainly as well in the United States Senate as he did on syndicated television. But who is it? Senator Landrieu from... Louisiana immediately climbed up on her high horse and said that if Jerry Springer ran for the Senate from Ohio, even though he's a Democrat, she's a Democrat, she would go to Ohio and campaign for his opponent. You got to love Democrats. No wonder the Democrats probably will never again be in a position of national power. Right? I said probably. There's a qualifier there. And then this evening, Arnold declares his candidacy for the governor of California. Arianna Huffington decided this morning she'll run against whomever. You know, when you consider Arianna and Arnold, who was it? Bill Schneider on CNN said this will be the first time translators are called in to assist in the debates. They're going to need subtitles for those two, right? An Austrian and a Greek, who both have very, very heavy accents. Can you imagine if Arnold wins? What would they call him? Conan the Totalitarian? I know a lot of people say, no, he's really a liberal Democrat. You know, he's a liberal Democrat. Or, I mean, Republican. Yeah, sure he is. Sure he is. So now we have Arnold. Who's next? Kobe Bryant? Is he going to announce that he's going to run for governor in California or wherever? We are weird. We are weird people, aren't we? Huh? And what was it? What was interesting tonight was the way, in watching the monitors here in the studio, CNN took the whole first part of Paula Zahn's program, well, almost the entire Paula Zahn program, and focused on Arnold Schwarzenegger's analysis. Speaking of Paula Zahn, her former co-anchor, Jack Cafferty, who anchors the, still is one of the anchors on American Morning, with that cutie pie boy and who's the woman, Soledad O'Brien? I can't think of the... Bill Hemmer. Careful with that last name. Anyway, and Jack Cafferty, he's one of the anchors. Looks like he's going to pay a $250 fine and perform 70 hours of community service. Why? Because he pled guilty to leaving the scene of an accident in New York City. What happened was Jack had been charged with the with a traffic infraction along with misdemeanor charges of reckless driving, assault, and harassment. Now, if this were you, would you get off with a $250 fine? I don't think so. Police said he knocked a man off a bike with his Cadillac back on May 14th. I wonder why I didn't hear about it. I still have contacts in CNN, you know, from my days of working there. I hadn't. All right, 2 months ago, May, June, July. No, it's 3 months ago. Cafferty's lawyer said there was never anything. This was never anything more than a traffic accident. It was resolved as a traffic infraction. Jack acted responsibly in this, as he always has. Responsibly? Responsibly? Well, here's what happened. After Cafferty runs over a guy on a bike, a traffic cop, and five pedestrians ran after Cafferty's car to get him to stop. But Cafferty drove through at least two red lights around other vehicles without stopping. Oh, this is acting responsibly, huh? Right? He runs two red lights. He drives around other vehicles to escape. And in the meantime, he was dragging the man's bike underneath his car. Now, according to the lawyer, this is Jack Cafferty acting responsibly. Eh? Cafferty told police that, well, I saw a man on a bike. I don't know. He might have been a messenger, but he was weaving in out of traffic. And you know, I looked in my rearview mirror, and I saw the man getting up off the ground, but I didn't know I'd hit him. The bicyclist, by the way, told the police he was only slightly injured. But how about this? CNN anchor. Oh, he is a troll. Isn't he a right-wing snot? Huh? Isn't he just an absolute right-wing snot? Ooh, wouldn't you like to just, well, never mind. But his lawyer says, well, you know, he was acting responsibly in this, as he always has. Now, one more time. A traffic cop, five pedestrians, ran after Cafferty's car to try to stop him after the accident, but Cafferty drove through at least two red lights around other vehicles without stopping. In the meantime, he was dragging the man's bike underneath his car. Now, that's Jack Cafferty, a CNN anchor. Remember the story on Lou Dobbs' wife who tried to get on an airplane with a gun? What the hell is going on? And she got busted on a misdemeanor charge of what? Trying to get on an airplane with a gun, I guess. CNN. Oh, the crazy news network, huh? Oh, my God. Timothy in Chicago sent this in. Mike, how soon we forget? 10 years ago, August 6, 1993, Al Gore cast the deciding vote. It was 50-50. Al Gore cast the deciding vote as vice president, passing the Clinton tax plan, which increased income taxes ever so slightly for the top tax bracket. That set the U.S. economy on the longest peacetime expansion in history, and not a single Republican voted for it. And now here we are in the Bush economy. Yeah, I remember what pissants like Limbaugh and Newt Gingrich and just about every Republican who could find a microphone at the time. Oh, this is going to destroy the economy. Oh, it's going to be all recession to a double-digit unemployment. Ah! And look what happened. And look what's happening now. Robin sent this in. Mike, not that it matters, but even Esquire magazine has dissed Dennis Kucinich in the current issue with the J-Lo pinups. Yes, I know, I plead guilty. There's an article on the Democratic presidential candidates in, quote, their natural element, end quote. Homey little photos of Gephardt, Lieber Loser, Kerry, Edwards, Dean, etc. No, Dennis Kucinich. Is this his campaign dropping the ball or the media just passing him by? Hell, the article had a picture of Sharpton stuffing his face in a restaurant. You gotta wonder. Peace. Robin. Don't know, Robin. Hear about G. Gordon Liddy Day in South Dakota? That's right. South Dakota's Republican governor said yesterday that he didn't mean to authorize a special day honoring the convicted Watergate felon G. Gordon Liddy, and also, I don't know, he'd like to people to believe, G. Gordon would, that he'd been involved in, wet operations for the CIA. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You see, the governor there, the Republican governor there, had issued a proclamation declaring August 7th, tomorrow, as an official G. Gordon Liddy Day. Now the governor, Michael Rounds, Republican, says it was an error. After he issued the proclamation, his office, apparently, according to the Reuters news agency, was swamped with emails and phone calls of outrage. The governor's spokesman said, well, yes, we received a tremendous amount of feedback about this. Feedback? Now, you'll remember that Liddy was the one that said he would kill his mother if his leader, Dick Nixon, asked him to. He served 4.5 years in prison for his role in the smash and grab at the Democratic Party National Headquarters, Watergate Complex. You remember that. And because G. Gordon Liddy was such a bumbling freak dumbass, he brought down a presidency. Right? Could have gotten away with it had G. Gordon not been said. Think about that for a second. This is a guy who likes to fancy himself as a, I'm an operative, CIA, NSC, DIA. I've done it all, brother. I've done it all. I've carried a gun, man. I have a buzz haircut, man. We met this guy, didn't we, Kathy, when we were in New York at the Talk Magazine convention? What a turd. What an absolute empty-headed, I don't know. You get an idea about some of these people because they have these criminals, they have such a profound effect on history, as G. Gordon did on American history with his actions at Watergate that eventually chased the president and the vice president completely out of office, both of whom, all of them, all those people, what a collection of vermin, huh? But when you meet G. Gordon, if you ever do, and now I can say I've had the misfortune of meeting this turd, there's no there. What a twerp. What a nothing twerp. And he sits behind his microphone all day, every day, or I don't know, does he have a 3-hour syndicated program? Just being Mr. Cool, Mr. Ice Water in the Veins. This guy is a he's a jerk. That's all I can say. So, you know, he's a convicted felon, so the Republican governor of South Dakota says, hey, let's have a G. Gordon Liddy Day. and then the governor, after a swarm of people in South Dakota, said, are you crazy? He issued this statement, the governor, Michael Rounds.
We have literally issued hundreds of ceremonial proclamations since I took office in January, and this particular request was sent in by a South Dakota citizen. It's my policy to personally sign every document that leaves my office, and you know, in this case, that didn't happen. Wasn't me.
According to the governor, the proclamation apparently slipped through the office, and the governor's signature was rubber-stamped by staffers. Is there a single Republican politician who ever takes responsibility for his shenanigans or his adultery or his murders or his arson or his debauchery? Is there ever one? No, Mike, there isn't. Oh, by the way, Liddy is traveling through South Dakota this week as part of an annual motorcycle rally. Yeah. Yeah, he's a biker. Tough guy. Tough guy. Tough guy. Couldn't even break into the Democratic Party headquarters and get away with it. What a doofus.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817 for Washington Monthly.
Show. Jody in Arlington Heights, she said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine, and it seems to be working. There have been times when I've done talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery, but that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear my wife program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hey, funny just...
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Well, what do we got? We have G. Gordon Liddy Day that has been recalled. Arnold Schwarzenegger. By the way, Robin says he wants to be called the Governator. Boo, the Governator. Arianna Huffington is going to run. Jerry Springer is not. A little bit of sanity here before we move on. Tomorrow is nationwide meetup day for Kucinich supporters that have registered through meetup.com. You still have time to register, I think, for your local meeting. So check it out, meetup.com. Our Elgin Bureau Chief wanted me to share that with you. Robert is calling from Washington, D.C. Hey, Robert.
How are you doing, sir?
Doing fine.
Well, this is quite interesting. The war on California continues.
Oh, man. Isn't it amazing? The Republican operatives who did this, Karl Rove and Ken Lay and Dick Cheney, man, they have succeeded in throwing the entire state into utter, total chaos.
That's very true. And it should be obvious to anyone that since it was about a year ago that he was involved in this I forget what it was. It was a fundraising thing having to do with education for children, something along those lines.
Schwarzenegger, yeah.
Right, that they've been planning this for quite a while, and one wonders how many millions of dollars have been, quote-unquote, given to him to pull out now for his campaign.
Right.
You know, his quote-unquote, own money.
I heard a couple of the anchors on CNN tonight when I was watching. I think Bill Schneider brought it up first. Paula Zahn may have mentioned it. Arnold Schwarzenegger has a zipper problem that would make Newt Gingrich and Bill Clinton look like amateurs. And apparently his wife, Maria Shriver, is very concerned. I guess the way the story goes, she's kind of made peace with this. After all, she does come from the Kennedy family. So what's she going to say, right? Mm-hmm. She's kind of made peace with the fact that this guy would try to have sex with a pile of rocks if he thought there was somebody down at the bottom of that pile. So it's my understanding, though, that Gray Davis's operatives have said if Schwarzenegger gets into this, this is not going to be a race run for the League of Women Voters. This is going to be down and dirty, funky and filthy, and they are going to trot out all the bad information that they have on Schwarzenegger, because apparently it's quite an extensive list of people, women he has had sex with, let's just put it bluntly, since he's been married to Maria Shriver, which doesn't make him any different from any Republican and a hell of a lot of Democrats, politicians. It seems like they all have this problem. Here's the situation, though. It was Republicans who made this an issue with Bill Clinton and his girlfriend. The Republicans made this an issue. And now, even though the Republicans seem immune to it, Newt Gingrich's serial adultery is legion. Bob Livingston, who took his place, we're going to take his place, Speaker of the House, his serial adultery is legion. The list just goes on and on. Bob Barr, all of them. But somehow, even George Will, did you know that George Will's wife, one time when she found out he was boinking a female conservative columnist, I wonder who that was, threw his clothes out on the lawn at their house in Georgetown? This stuff goes on and on and on and on, but the Republicans apparently are immune from the charges of either adultery or hypocrisy.
Right, and none of this would be an issue if it were not for their hypocrisy. But the funny thing to me is that, though it's obvious that he's been involved with all sorts of different heterosexual encounters, since he is going to align himself with the arbiters of morality, it should also come out the fact that, let's face it, there's a casting couch in all sorts of public venues.
Boy.
And in weightlifting, we know what kind of a casting couch existed there, let me tell you.
Oh, yes!
Yeah. So, it does remind me of the old Sam Kinison routine about, I am the gay Terminator.
Right. I don't know, Robert, either we are on the cusp of an awful lot of humor in this country, or we are suffering a national nervous breakdown. One of the two, maybe both. Robert, thanks for checking in.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Have a nice evening. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Making plans to go out and do wrong.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller. Not rain, nor sleet, nor snow can stop the Postal Service from its appointed rounds, but according to the American Postal Workers Union, a government panel just might. This week, Postal Union President William Burris blasted a presidential commission on Postal Service reform. The commission recommends creating a postal regulatory board whose politically appointed members would have the authority to set postage rates and even open parts of the Postal Service to competition. The unions also worried proposed changes would undermine the collective bargaining rights of postal employees.
The problems continue for Nigeria's oil industry. In addition to an ongoing peaceful occupation of a pumping station by Nigerian women, four oil workers have been kidnapped in the last month. The latest occurred on Friday. Two of the country's largest refineries are shut down due to renewed ethnic violence in the Delta region, and a shortage of fuel oil in the country is becoming so dire that the president of the Nigeria Labor Congress says as many as 500,000 people may be thrown out of work when factories begin running dry. That could start as early as this week. Meanwhile, fuel oil exports continue at an unabated pace.
Whether or not it's legal, 325 nurses in Easton, Pennsylvania are walking a picket line outside Lehigh Valley Hospital this week. Nurses with the United Independent Union struck just after midnight on Monday, fed up with negotiations that have failed to replace a contract which expired 2 months ago. The hospital insists the strike is illegal and has filed charges with the National Labor Relations Board, but the nurses say they gave a 10-day strike notice as required by law. The union says an offer of a 12% wage increase next year isn't enough to offset a rollback in overtime protection, sick days, vacation days, and other benefits.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Got a couple of interesting emails here. First one. This is from Graham Smith, who's listening in Australia. Dear Mike, a few weeks ago, I had no idea that people such as yourself existed in the good old U.S. of A. I found your radio station through radiopower.org. accidentally via the list of internet radio stations within the iTunes application on my Apple computer. And then Graham writes, strange that a multinational corporation would ship computers all around the world pre-programmed with radio links such as yours. That's very true. But before I go on with Graham's email, see, radiopower.org, that's one of the past couple of nights I've said, you know, some of you folks listening in the States or wherever you're listening, that's run by Shelby LePre, and she needs a few bucks to stay on doing what she's doing. Go to radiopower.org, and there'll be a way there you can send her $10. Anyway, back to Graham. Anyway, just wanted to say that I have converted all of my fellow co-workers here, and we now tune in every morning at 11 a.m. Australian time to listen to, dare I say it, the truth. What is equally refreshing is hearing the, quote, average, unquote, American talkback caller, that would be you folks who call the program, with intelligent and thoughtful things to say. A far cry from the rantings on the Fox News network. So, take some comfort, Graham writes, that you are now a global broadcaster. P.S. Our prime miniature. I like that. Why didn't we ever think of that for Tony Blair, Kathy? Our prime miniature, John Howard, also known as the Bonsai, in other words, a mini bush, would like us to be an American outpost while simultaneously dragging us back to the 1950s. I'm sure that there is some sort of umbilical cord between them. That would be Howard and Bush. We can only hope that Bush loses your next election so that we can deliver the U.S. from the right-wing thugs and hopefully get rid of the afterbirth, which is our prime miniature. Keep up the great work. Regards, Graham. I like the way this guy writes. Huh? What do you think, Kathy? I can't hear you. Graphic, it is indeed. Here's another one from Dr. Flox at infectedmail.com. Do you like that? Mike D. Malloy, you are nothing but a loser. You son of a bitch. If it were not for George Bush, would you have the chance to do nothing but spew hatred all day long about the President of the United States? Let's face it, Mike Malloy, if your man Dennis Kucinich becomes president in 2004, will you still have any topics to rant about whatsoever? Why don't you go engage in sodomy or something, since you're undoubtedly a sodomite and a queer? They always do that, right? And do something more useful with your time. Get a real job or something. Listening to your voice makes me want to bash my head against the wall. Well, then keep listening, please. This is a guy, this is Dr. DR, then underscore, and then Flox, PHLOX, at infectedmail.com. That's appropriate, infectedmail.com. So a couple of emails. Thanks, Flox. Appreciate the fact that this program excites you. And obviously it does. My God, if you want to bash your head against a wall and you continue to listen, ooh, interesting he would bring up sodomy. What you got in mind, Bubala? You want to meet me somewhere? And thanks to Graham in Australia. I appreciate it. To all the people listening at wherever Graham is, I would assume he's probably at a university there. Thanks for writing, guys and girls. I appreciate it. All right, where are we? We're right here. Terry is calling from Rice Lake, Wisconsin. Hey, Terry.
Yeah, hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Yeah, I didn't listen to your show. I have to listen to it on the Internet.
Uh-huh.
But I thought, I called up Kathy, and she said, yeah, you're talking about Arnold. And
yeah, we were, about his announcement tonight. Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to run for, I'm going to run for governor. I can't do his voice. Wait, Kathy can do it. Do it, Kathy. Go ahead.
My name is the Arnold. I want to be your new governor. I do not come from this country, yeah. But I'm going to do my best to pump you up.
What I want to come...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was supposed to do there. But anyway, what I want to comment about is the movie Pumping Iron.
Yeah.
And the very end, when Arnold beats Lou Ferrigno and Franco Colombo for the 1975 Mr. Olympia,
uh-huh.
He celebrates with a doobie.
Yeah.
In the very end of the movie. Well,
yeah, I've heard this. I haven't seen this. I think I saw the movie a long time ago, but got bored and ran out of popcorn and left the theater.
Yeah.
But they smoke a joint at the end, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably isn't actually stated, but just the actions, you know that's what it is. It's not a cigarette.
Well, that would cause me to vote for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. But, I mean, this is the guy, you know, Mike, he's on the other side with Bush's anti-drug, or the first Bush, I think, anti-drug program. I think he was.
Yeah.
I think, or physical, something, I don't know. He was something.
Well, all of these guys, even so-called moderate Republicans like Arnold, they all are just base hypocrites. I mean, the baseline for these people is nothing but lies, deception, trickery, deceit, immorality, non-ethical behavior, and it's just a matter of degrees. You know, Arnold has a zipper problem, like I said earlier in the program. He's got a zipper problem that would make Newt Gingrich, Bob Livingston, John Kennedy, and Bill Clinton look like amateurs.
Mm-hmm.
Combined. I mean, I don't think there's anything walking in Hollywood that Arnold hasn't approached and said,
yeah.
Well, would you like to get together?
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right. You're right, Mike. One more thing, too. I don't know when Arnold got to this country, but, you know, he's an anti-communist zealot.
Yeah? Yeah, well, he's Austrian, Uncle Adolf.
Well, I mean, silly Stallone, you can put in that category also.
Yeah.
Did not, you know, they didn't go to war. They had a chance to run right down and sign up.
Well, he ran all right.
Yeah, he ran the other way under the bed, along with all the mother chicken hawks.
I hear you.
I mean, that's such an anti-communist stance, but didn't want to have nothing to do with the lead flying.
That's true.
That's the problem I got with those jokers, and I just wish it. It's a dog, I guess, that don't hunt anymore. Maybe this pot thing won't hunt either. I don't know.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Is California, after all.
Yeah.
Right?
What do you think the chances are?
Wait, say it again, Terry. You're breaking up. Terry?
Yeah, hello?
Oh, there you are. Go ahead. Say it again.
Yeah, what do you think his chances are in the election, Mike?
Arnold, slim to none. Probably, you know, he'll probably get 2 or 3% of the vote. If it goes to, if it actually goes to a vote on someone to replace Gray Davis, if Gray Davis is recalled. There's some debate about this. Terry, thank you. The call's breaking up. I appreciate you checking in, pal.
Okay, thanks.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. It's my understanding that the California Constitution does not provide for a combination recall of a governor and in tandem, at the same moment, elect somebody else. There are two questions, I believe, that's going to be on this ballot in October. Do you want to keep Gray Davis? And if you vote no, who do you want in his place? And it's going to take state constitutional scholars in California to figure this one out, I'm sure. Legal scholars, but the lieutenant governor, is my understanding, who's also a Democrat. I don't know anything about him. I can't even think of his name off the top of my head. But the law states that if the governor is removed, the lieutenant governor moves into that slot, period, end of story. So these little worms and weasels and vermin like Daryl Issa, the two-time convicted car thief who financed this exercise in neo-Nazism, Daryl Issa and who else? Bill Simon, who had his ass handed to him in the last Simon's last attempt to become governor of California. Simon is to the right of Attila the Hun, apparently. Who else? Whoever. Now the Democrats. Ariana is saying she's an independent. Okay, Ariana, if that's what you want to do, go ahead. Because what Ariana is trying to do is not be a Democrat and jump on a Democrat. Ariana Huffington said not more than a week or 10 days ago that she thought the whole exercise was one of had neo-fascist implications by the Republicans. But here she comes. You know, whatever works. Now these are the bright lights and big names that have decided they're going to run for governor of California in this debacle that's going on. It's my understanding there are about 300 people who have, what do they need, Kathy? 65 signatures and $100. I don't know. That's not exactly it, but it's something close to that. In order to get qualified. Can you imagine what this ballot's going to look like? Oh, God. This would be funny were it not so tragic. This entire thing. I'll tell you who's laughing. Who is laughing their asses off are Karl Rove and Dick Cheney. I mean, they're just guffawing about this. This is the most sport they've had since they stuffed lighted firecrackers up the asses of frogs and blew them to pieces, or since they ordered the killing and destruction of Iraqi people and Afghan people because they could not find, could not arrest, could not bring to justice the people who attacked this country on September 11, 2001. So Karl Rove and Dick Cheney, they're just having great fun, great sport with this. This is wonderful. And Ken Lay, they probably call up Ken and say, Ken, thanks, buddy, you did it, we'll make sure your ass doesn't get indicted or jailed, because this is great. You know, if there's one thing Republicans hate since Ronald Reagan died, and he's been dead for 25 years, is the fact that California keeps going Democratic. They can't stand it. They hate California. So rather than go out there and fight for California's electoral votes and play it honestly, Republicans can't do that. They are weasels, scum, slime. They are immoral. They have no ethical center. They are mass killers. Anyone who is a Republican or supports Republicans is likewise a thug. So that's what this is all about in California. It has nothing to do with referenda or participatory democracy or letting the people speak. Oh, hog snot. It has nothing to do with that. Absolutely nothing. It has to do with the vile chicanery, trickery, and murderous duplicity of the Republican Party. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care. Am I clear? Do you have any doubts where I stand on that particular issue? Speaking of Republicans down in Texas, the Republican Party of Texas has sent is sending care packages to the 11 Texas Democratic senators that have left the state and are hiding out in a New Mexico hotel. Yeah. Because the thugs, the right-wing Republican thugs, that's redundant, isn't it? Doubly so. The right-wing Republican thugs that run Texas, in contravention of tradition and history, instead of waiting for the next census to realign the state, to reset the state's congressional districts, they're trying to do it now. This is because Tom Lay, another Republican hypocrite who will be tortured and buggered in hell for all the damage he's committed while he's been alive, Tom Lay told them to do this. Well, the Democrats, the senators, following the lead of the Democratic representatives in the Texas State House, have left the state. They said, to hell with you. You know, we're just not going to participate in this nonsense. So the Republicans are sending care packages to the hotel where the Democrats are hiding out. They're sending diapers, Pampers brand custom fit cruiser diapers, according to the Republicans, because Democrats need underwear that reflects their childish behavior. They're also sending baby rattles so the Democrats something to hold as they shake their fists in the air. And child leashes to keep them firmly attached to the National Democratic Party leaders who ordered and are controlling the walkout. See, here comes another bad word. Watch out, these lion sons of bitches. This is not being controlled by the National Democrats. It's being controlled by the National Republicans. We all know this. But nobody in media, nobody any place ever, ever challenges the statements, the activities, or the behavior of Republicans. Nobody in media challenges the hypocrisy. No one. Oh, and they're also sending pacifiers to curb the incessant Democratic whining. Leashes? Ooh, that sounds kind of kinky. Leashes. Huh? What else we got? I'll come to your phone calls in a second. Just hold on. Indulge me, okay? Mike in Orlando says, not to be rude, but my call seemed not to fit tonight. I just wanted to express my frustration and disappointment in Dennis Kucinich at the FFL-CIO debate that was on C-SPAN this evening. Now, I thought that was the one that was not, that got blown off the air, but maybe they rebroadcast it, right? Mike writes, after watching Dennis in Iowa with Tom Harkin, I was inspired. Tonight my bubble burst. Dennis shouted and was angry, and this put himself in a bad light. He was agitated, abrasive, and confrontational with the other candidates. What he said was snuffed out by the shouting manner in which he said it. The rest of the cast seemed stunned and almost embarrassed. He continually pounded the podium and shouted his agenda. It was a disaster and has me rethinking my choice. Prior to this, I was firmly behind Kucinich. I still agree with his message, but what you have to consider is, were he to get elected, could he get anything accomplished by being so angry? Please give me a reason not to give up on him. Well, Mike, I can't give you squat, but if you think a clear expression of anger is somehow something that an honest, forthright politician shouldn't have, what would you prefer? would you prefer a passive-aggressive like a George Bush or a Lieberman who would not hesitate to commit death and destruction against anybody on this planet that they chose to? Nah, if you can't figure out a reason not to give him up, Mike, I can't help you. I don't think anybody can. You'll figure it out, pal. Anybody else see that? I didn't see it because I just didn't see it. What else we got here? Well, we have Luke who's calling in from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke.
Hey, Mike. You talk about this thing about the Texas. I mean, if you've been reading along this thing, this makes the thing in California look downright silly. You know what I mean? It's just so, this thing's been going on down there for a couple of months. And it's like you have seen the media just virtually ignore everything about this.
Uh-huh.
They had this thing I was reading in the Houston Chronicle that Perry's been punishing people who were favoring it. That a group called the American GI Forum, which is a Hispanic veterans group,
uh-huh.
That apparently when they had the meetings on these redistricting, these people showed up in big numbers. Mm-hmm. And amazingly, all of a sudden, their funding's being cut by the governor.
Well,
and of course, he says it has nothing to do with their showing up at the meeting.
No, but he says that because Republicans are lying hypocrites.
Well, if you read into this thing, they were having meetings when they had to do this again. They had their public forums, and they would have meetings that were supposed to start at 2 p.m.
Yeah.
They wouldn't get started till 7, and sometimes people would still be there talking at 2 a.m. the next morning.
Oh, my God.
And they were talking about how that essentially the whole time the Republicans were just treating everybody that got up to talk just like, you know, what are you doing here?
I hear
you
that.
You know, how dare you come up and talk to us?
Hey, Luke, hold on a second. Quick break. We'll be right back.
That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas wants you anyway. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're...
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Powell, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, "At a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore"? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, "To people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Dude,
and
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
That's Evan's good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Ready for a liberal helping of the truth? Here's Mike.
Five before the hour, we're talking with Luke in Knoxville, Tennessee. Luke, go ahead. Thanks for holding on.
No problem, Mike. Now, a name you're going to start hearing if anybody ever starts talking about this Texas thing is the lieutenant governor, a fellow named David Dewhurst. He presides over the Senate.
Uh-huh.
Now, when they held the first special session, the Senate blocked it because there was a rule that said you had to have two-thirds of a vote to debate a bill.
Right.
Well, to come back for the second session, he says, you guess what? We're just going to suspend that rule. Now they had a thing today where they were talking to him, and he said, Dewhurst ruled out any possibility of trying to declare the senator's seats vacant or expel them from the Senate.
Oh, my God.
What do you bet that in a couple of days that's going to be a possibility?
I nothing that Republicans do, whether they're in Texas, California, in some outhouse in a cornfield in Iowa, in the White House, in the Defense Department, nothing that they do surprises me. They are evil, evil aliens from a different planet.
Okay. Hey, one other thing I was reading today in The Nation. Have you seen this thing by John Nichols called, for Democrats, Mr. Right is Mr. Wrong?
I haven't got my copy of The Nation yet, but I will check it out.
It's about, they talk about Lieberman. He said,
oh, yeah.
He essentially says, you know, said, Lieberman hadn't figured out what Gore and Clinton both had figured out, is you have to talk to both corners of the party.
Yeah, yeah.
That for some reason, Lieberman has this theory, you only have to talk to the right wing of the party, and it's sort of like, well, I mean, reverse it. I mean, that's what the freepers and Republicans have been doing for years. They just talk to the right wing of their party. It's like, when did last time you heard the liberal Republicans say word one?
Well, just a little while ago when Arnold Schwarzenegger made his announcement, because he is a liberal Republican, there's no question. He's also a freak. And to me, liberal Republicans are as bad as any kind of Republican, because they are part of a party that promotes lies, debauchery, murder, mayhem, war, death, destruction, immorality, and no ethics. So,
well, I agree.
Screw them all. Hey, Luke, thanks for checking in.
You have a good evening, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Have I mentioned yet this evening that I hate Republicans? Our Manhattan Upper East Side Bureau Chief, that would be New York City, Kim. Hi, Mike. I was wondering what you think about Arianna Huffington running for governor in California. I have great respect for her since she came over from the dark side. Well, she did do that, Kim, for sure. Every time I hear her, I'm more impressed by her intelligence and her liberal-leaning views. What do you think of her candidacy? I think she would be a great candidate for any seat, including the presidency. Could you imagine Arianna versus Shrub in a debate? She would give any of the boys a weapon. What do you think? Well, I think that she might I'm guessing here, Kim, but she might enjoy giving the boys a whipping a little bit more than you might want in a presidential candidate, if you know what I mean.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yes, I'm calling
about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The Bush administration is trying to downplay rumors that Secretary of State Colin Powell intends to retire and will not serve a second term. At the beginning of the week, the Washington Post reported that Powell had let the White House know if Bush wins a second term, he and his deputy will retire the day after Inauguration Day. That's not the message Bush and Powell were trying to send from Crawford, Texas, as Priscilla Huff reports.
The word in Washington was that President Bush had told his top advisors either commit to another 4 years or quit this summer. And some, like spokesman Ari Fleischer, did. But when it comes to Colin Powell, Bush says he'll deal with his Secretary of State's future when the time comes.
First things first, and that is we've got a year and a while during my first term to make the world a more peaceful place, and we'll deal with it. Washington loves speculation.
A new survey from the Gallup organization finds that if Powell were to leave, it'd be bad news for the Bush administration because the Secretary of State remains one of the most popular members of the Bush team. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
A terror warning has been issued to commuter ferries operating in New York Harbor. U.S. Coast Guard spokesman Tom Sperduto says federal officials believe the ferries could serve as potential soft targets.
The Department of Homeland Security issued an information bulletin to ferry boat owners and operators concerning incidents of suspicious activity and possible surveillance of ferry operations.
Authorities say they have no information on specific targets, but urge ferry operators and passengers to be on the lookout for anything suspicious, including unusual activity and unattended packages. Tens of thousands of people ride ferries each day to commute to work in New York City. Meanwhile, the Coast Guard continues to increase patrols and maintain a vigilant presence in the New York Harbor.
Still using Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra? Then be aware, because this year many prescription plans are raising the copayment cost of your allergy medicine. So why pay more when those medicines are approved to treat fewer triggers? Ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. 99% of prescription plans cover Flonase, and Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. Allergy medicines costing you more? Simply ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
Gays who belong to the Episcopal Church are more active than gay people of most other faiths. That's the finding of a new study released today. Of the almost 9,000 homosexuals asked, nearly 58% who identified themselves as Episcopalian said they actively participate in their religion. Only gays belonging to the Metropolitan Community Church, Unitarian, and Pagan organizations reported a higher percentage of participation. The survey comes amid controversy among members of the Episcopal faith. In a 62-45 vote in the House of Bishops, the church's governing body yesterday elected an openly gay man as the Bishop of New Hampshire.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
A group of Southwest Airlines flight attendants are beginning a national informational ticket campaign to bring attention to ongoing contract talks with the airline. Attendant Lucy White says the biggest contract issue is time, since Southwest attendants are currently paid only for the time they actually spend in the air. She says employees want to be compensated for all the time they're on the job performing a variety of tasks, including cleaning the aircraft, assisting passengers, and conducting security checks. The union is also opposed to a proposal to extend the workday. As for the possibility of a strike, White says the union's bargaining team wants to reach an agreement through negotiations, but she also says the membership will do whatever is necessary to, in her words, get the contract we deserve. Stocks were mixed today on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 25 points to 90.61. The NASDAQ was down 21 to 16.52. The S&P 500 was up 1.5 to 9.67. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Sex and the single driver. No, it's not the latest XXX film or a video on golf swings. And you'll never guess its producer-director. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark.
Sex and the single driver is a favorite feature of insurance companies. And if you're a middle-aged, married female, you're the star of this show. Yes, statistics show younger drivers are involved in more fatalities than mature adults. And singles have less safe driving records than those in wedding bliss. And here's the clincher, gentlemen. Males are deadlier drivers than females. In fact, a National Safety Council survey found fatal accident rates were 63% higher for men. So ladies, start your engines and enjoy the spotlight. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. You having fun tonight? Boy, I am. If you're just joining us and missed that first hour, woo, man. There's still foam all over the walls in here, and the balloons are stuck, and it's little animals running around. We had a great time first hour. William, our North Carolina bureau chief, is calling in. Hey, William.
Yes, sir. Just need to call and kind of give a little bit of support of the one caller about Kucinich, kind of shooting himself a little bit in the foot.
Oh, that was an email that I read.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you what my senior correspondent, who heard me read that email, he said. That would be Chris in Minnesota. He saw the debate when it was rebroadcast, the part that was in question this morning, and he reminded me in his email, Chris did, that in a previous debate, Kucinich, you know, the camera stays away from him. Everybody out-talks him. So if Kucinich was pissed off and pounding the podium, it's about time. It's about time.
I would agree if it didn't look so he was doing anger instead of being angry. It was like, you know, he would do his fly around the stage and jump up and down and then turn to somebody in a very calm voice and then deliver a statement or something and then revert right back into the jumping around. It just looked forced and phony.
A little contrived.
And yeah, exactly. And I like him. Don't get me wrong. What he was saying was right on. And he was holding Dean to task and a few of the other ones. But I thought he came across a little bit too forced. And maybe because he was just feeling frustrated and saying, listen, I need, you know, to grab a little bit of attention. I don't know. But I thought he came off not as well as he could have, I think.
Yeah, that's a shame. If there's one thing that is absolutely necessary
for somebody who wants to make a run for the presidency. I would assume this also applies to lesser offices, but you've got to retain your cool under fire.
Exactly. And I don't know if his people, you know, said this is the tactic to take or whatever. Because I think he could have been forceful and shown some anger or whatever, you know, in a little bit different way. Because I thought all of them, you know, basically took Bush to task and showed some real anger about the crap that we're putting up with and got, you know, humongous crowd, approval.
Right.
But I just thought with, and I saw, I watched it on the replay, the follow-up on C-SPAN, and I kind of watched for it again, and just it saddened me a little bit because I thought, damn, I wanted Dean and him both to really put on the most positive face, and I just thought he kind of hurt his cause a little bit. I you know, he's certainly, you know, not out of it or nothing, but I hope, you know, he watches it and takes some pointers, because I think everybody up there was a little shocked at, you know, what's going on over here on this end of the stage, because I think they were all, you know, there to put out their message and everything, not to attack each other or to you know, romp and stomp and holler, because there's a time for that.
Right.
I don't think that setting, you know, was the place for it.
Okay, well, good point, William. Thanks. Like I say, since I didn't see it, I appreciate the input here.
Well, no problem. I like him a lot. I just, you know, but I thought, well, if you hadn't seen it, you know, I really think that. You know, I know he's your guy, but I just wanted to give you some feedback on,
thanks.
You know.
All right, William, I appreciate it. All right, sir, you take care. All right, we've got a different point of view here. Patrick is calling from Owensboro, Kentucky. Patrick, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing fine.
Hey, William just joined the Republican Party.
No. Hey, watch out now. That's my bureau chief.
Well, hey, I know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think Dennis reflected, Congressman Kucinich reflected the anger that the American people are feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was nothing bogus at all about that.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say it was bogus, although William felt it was kind of contrived. The point that I was trying to make, or the point I did make, and I think William agreed, and I think most people understand politics, especially national politics, agree, you cannot appear to be in the least out of control, even though it's righteous, it's correct, it's on target. I don't see how anybody in this country who believes in this country cannot be just thoroughly pissed right now and ready to rip something to pieces. But if you're going to run for national office, especially the presidency, you have to contain it. You have to control it.
And do we want to be like G. Gordon Liddy and have ice water in our veins and be all?
No, No, I'm not talking about that. I just said contain it and control it. There's a difference in containing it and a difference in denying it.
We have to be real now.
Well, yeah. Well, that's true. But if people want to win elections, there's a certain amount of reality beyond which Americans can't handle it. So it's not the candidate, it's us, in my opinion. Patrick, thanks. I appreciate your take on that. That's just the truth. I mean, it is. I didn't see it. Kucinich may be justified in being angry. That's what our senior correspondent in Minnesota says. Our North Carolina bureau chief says, well, come on, looks a little contrived. And the reality is somewhere in there. I think my opinion is the reality is, again, one cannot do that because, Muskie. Was it Edwin Muskie who was running on Carter, with Carter for reelection? Have I got this right? And he was attacked by one of the filthy right-wing rags in New Hampshire. Was it New Hampshire? I think it was New Hampshire. One of the newspapers up there. And he was trying to respond and had something to do with his wife, and he choked up, and he was just lashed mercilessly by the national media simply because he got a little emotional when I don't remember if he was defending some snot-ass comment about his wife or by this newspaper, the Manchester Guardian. Was it New Hampshire? Yeah, the Manchester Guardian, which at the time was run by someone who probably would have felt more comfortable in Germany in the 30s than in America in the 70s. So any sign of weakness or out of controlness, even though it may be justified, rational, real, American media will just slobber all over it, and the American public can't handle it. You know, we are candy asses in this country. Most campaigns, most election campaigns, even after people get elected to office, look what Tony Blair has to put up with, and rightfully so, from the British press. They're carving him a new body orifice over there. Look what backbenchers in his own party, the Labour Party. Look what the Conservatives are doing. Look what the Liberals are doing. Americans, we're candy asses. I can tell you, having been married to a woman from New Zealand, that New Zealand and Australian politics are equally raunchy and just, well, every once in a while, don't you see it on television from the Korean, South Korean parliament when they all get into a fist fight, or the Japanese Diet when they they start throwing desks? You know, if that were to happen here, we Americans are just, I mean, let's face it, come on. For the most part, we're candy asses, not people that listen to this program. You all are fighters. So am I. I'm talking about the vast, vast majority. The people listen to Limbaugh. The people listen to Savage. The people listen to Hannity. The right wingers, the Republicans, you know, they're candy asses. They can't. They just can't handle anything. They just get all verklempt, you know, just, you know, something as simple as Bill Clinton's girlfriend. And they just come out of their crawl space like spiders and roaches and silverfish. And then you got to call in Tom DeLay, you know, to come in and exterminate everything. It's just really, Americans are just wimps, candy asses. Not you, not you, not me. You know who I'm talking about.
Maybe we need the Terminator. I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. I cannot do Terminator. I can't do him.
You will be terminated. Don't do that.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Now, see, I'm sick of it. I don't like Arnold Schwarzenegger attempts to do him, so to speak. Ken is calling from Santa Fe. Ken, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. Just wanted to kind of set the record straight on the Edwin Muskie thing.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, it was 1972. He was in a primary battle with George McGovern.
Oh, there you go.
And William Loeb, as you said, the publisher of the Manchester Union Leader, said some nasty things about Muskie's wife, and Muskie got very emotional about it.
Well, I had it all screwed up. I call it the Manchester Guardian, which I guess is a newspaper from the U.K., and it was in 72,
right.
Not 76. Okay.
Right.
So Loeb did say something nasty about Muskie's wife.
Muskie's wife, and then Muskie cried on the speaker's platform. Well, you know, he got tears in his eyes,
mm-hmm.
and then he got attacked for being a wimp and so forth.
Yeah.
And at the time, my wife, who was working in the McGovern campaign, says, "Hey, that's it. We're going to win the nomination." I said, "Yeah, and Nixon's going to win the election."
Boy, did he ever.
Yeah.
Which is again, you know, we don't have to look at the American electorate today that continues to give Bush 55-56% support to find idiocy. Let's go back to that election in 72. And the election of Dick Nixon resulted in the deaths of it was another 30,000 Americans' names went up on that wall.
That's right.
And McGovern was nothing more nor less than an honest candidate who had some damn good ideas. But the American public, even in 72, for God's sake, what is wrong with us? We handed it back to Nixon, and look what happened.
That's right. And in 68, when Nixon was elected, and it was on the basis of having this secret plan for ending the war.
Right.
And I remember I was consoling myself with the fact that, well, if he hasn't ended it in 4 years, he'll be out of there. Wrong again.
Wrong again, yeah. Thanks for the cleanup job on Muskie, because, I it was sitting in the back of my mind, but, boy, I had about 40% of it wrong. Thanks, Ken.
Sure, pleasure.
All right,
keep
sir.
Good work, Mike.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your call. We got the best audience on the planet because you all know stuff. What, break? Oh, well, that's what the music means. All right, stay with us. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Running from something they can't see.
Everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, "At a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore"? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, "To people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
For Boeing, Inc., it was a steal of a deal, wrapped in the flag and delivered on a silver platter. The deal, initiated by Boeing lobbyists shortly after the September 11th terrorist attacks, lets the world's largest airplane maker lease 100 of its commercial jets to the Air Force for conversion into refueling tankers. The lease pays a sweet $20 billion to Boeing, way more than the Air Force would pay simply to buy the tankers. It was a closed-door deal, done without competing bids and without congressional hearings or a vote. Oh, it also includes a 15% profit for Boeing, triple what it makes selling commercial planes. How did this greasy gob of corporate welfare come about? Business Week magazine recently followed the lobbying trail. First, Boeing went to the top, having just moved its corporate headquarters to Illinois, home state of House Speaker Dennis Hastert. Its lobbyists quickly signed up Hastert, and he quietly slipped the arrangement into the Pentagon appropriations bill. But the White House Budget Office balked, calling the costly lease scheme irresponsible. So Boeing's lobbyists, Hastert's office, and the Air Force agreed to a bit of Enron accounting to make the lease appear less costly than it is. In other words, they rigged the numbers. Then they lobbied. Boeing spends some $6 million a year on lobbyists. It's also a $2 million annual political contributor, including having given $100,000 to help pay for Bush's inaugural festivities. So it has lots of insider clout. Hastert himself worked the White House and got private sessions to pitch the lease directly to George W. After one of these sessions, Bush turned to his chief of staff and said, "Andy, let's get it done." This is Jim Hightower saying, did I mention that shortly after the deal was done, Boeing hired the Air Force procurement official who had negotiated this taxpayer giveaway? And that, my friends, is how corporate welfare gets delivered in Washington.
The man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Paul is calling from Boynton Beach, Florida. Hey, Paul.
How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
Yeah, the first thing, well, I listened to a particular show tonight. Don't want to get your blood pressure up, but I listened to the O'Reilly Factor.
Oh, that's all right. I'm just kidding.
But, well, they had, I kid you not, you know the show you had on, okay, a while back? In fact, you have a commercial for it every now and then. about
The thing at Disney World?
Yeah.
When I had the Christian Action Network freak on and was just jerking him around, and I had a few listeners, believe it or not, who thought I was being authentic. O'Reilly was...
The thing of it is that O'Reilly did the same thing, only this was, you know, people are watching him. They think all of this stuff is real.
Uh-huh.
I think there was a guy that has been taking pictures or videos for like 6 years.
Yeah, that's the people from the Christian Action Network. Did they show some on O'Reilly's program?
Yeah, they showed some. They showed these still shots where half of the picture is blurred out.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really see what's the... And they even said, oh, yes, they show these... They have these movies on the buses. and they're having sex outside.
Mm.
I mean, I heard this and I said, you know, I've heard this before.
Right. Well, so what was O'Reilly's take on it? That was terrible.
Oh, there were two guys. I think the one guy was, I think his name was Moyer or something. Then there's another guy representing, okay, for the gays. He's been going there for like 15 years or something like that. And he hasn't seen the video. And, you know, he hasn't seen it. And immediately O'Reilly goes right after me, says, you know, you've seen this. You know what it's like down there. You know what's going on, right? And the guy says, no, I haven't seen this.
Uh-huh.
But he just keeps pounding him and pounding him. He just won't won't give up on it.
Well, I do believe what the DSM-4 says, the statistical and analytical book that's used by the psychiatric and psychological profession, and that is, and I'm not quoting this exact, but the most vocal of anti-gay people are usually people who are dealing with unresolved feelings of homosexuality in themselves. And rather than accept themselves for what they are, they will fight tooth and nail against it, even to the extent of committing acts of verbal or physical violence against people who happen to be gay. Because our society, and not just our society, but so many societies are so virulently anti-homosexual for no apparent reason whatsoever. I mean, we've talked about this before. I do not see a basis in logic or morality or common sense for people being anti-homosexual. And it makes no sense to me. But I would wonder about if O'Reilly was salivating and making a big issue out of this. I would think that there was something about it that was appealing to O'Reilly on a basis that he couldn't handle. And the more vocal these people get, the more agitated they get, these homophobes, when they're discussing or attacking, I should say, homosexuality, the more I'm convinced that they are dealing with something inside themselves that they can't handle. But that's just my opinion.
And another thing I heard on his show is that I heard this like 4 years ago with mm-hmm. somebody else.
Yeah.
But he's saying that Howard Dean, okay, is, ducking it or something. He won't come on The Factor.
Oh, I...
He says the other ones will. But I heard this same thing 4 years ago with Gore.
Yeah. Well, I think any self-respecting would be... politician or human being or anything, even Martian, swamp dweller, would stay the hell away from O'Reilly. Hey, listen, Paul, thank you. There's the music. We got a boogie. I appreciate you checking in, pal. You have a nice evening. Quick break. We'll be right back.
I like it that way. I don't hear liberals talking to me. I don't see things their way. Yeah, I'm on the right side.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
the season for Lyme disease, and people should take measures to avoid getting sick. I'm Jill Ladwig for Earthwatch Radio. It's the time of year to be on the lookout for Lyme disease, a potentially debilitating illness carried by tiny deer ticks. The disease is concentrated in the Northeast, Upper Midwest, and Pacific Northwest, but cases have been reported in almost every state. Jonathan Edlow is an emergency medicine specialist at Harvard Medical School and author of a new book on Lyme disease called Bullseye.
I think the most important thing is just to know about the disease, to try to avoid tick exposure when one can, but the reality is people can pick up Lyme disease in their own backyards. There are certain insect repellents. Doing tick checks when you come back indoors to make sure that if there is a tick, you remove it before it can transmit Lyme disease, and then just to know what the symptoms are so that if you're developing those symptoms, you can be treated early, because early treatment of Lyme disease is very successful.
Edlow says the infection is caused by bacteria transmitted by tick bites. It often starts with a bullseye-shaped rash, usually within a week or two.
In the first stage, most people will develop a low-grade fever, and about 80% will develop a very distinctive rash called erythema migrans. And this is a very large red rash that's in unusual areas of the body, such as in the armpit or in the groin or on the torso.
For the victims who don't get the rash, diagnosis is more difficult. Edlow says they usually develop a low-grade fever and flu-like symptoms, including fatigue, headache, and joint pain. The good news is that antibiotics cure Lyme disease in the early stages, but left unchecked, the disease can cause chronic problems with the nervous system, heart, joints, and other parts of the body. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. Out by right-wing talk radio, you found a home with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. As you know, today the 6th was the anniversary of the U.S. nuclear bombing of Hiroshima. 3 days from now, it will be the anniversary of the U.S. nuclear bombing of Nagasaki. Hiroshima's mayor, do y'all say Hiroshima or Hiroshima? How were you taught? Okay, so Kathy brings up, I used the word potable last night in referring to water, and she says, I just about fell out of the chair, it's potable. What about Hiroshima or Hiroshima? Can you answer that for me, please?
I think that would be Hiroshima. Don't do that.
We have a female impersonator in here tonight.
Talk to the hand.
Hiroshima's mayor lashed out at the United States nuclear weapons policy during ceremonies marking the 58th anniversary of the city's atomic bombing, which caused the deaths of over 230,000 people. Shoo! Just like that. The mayor, this is, you know, every year on the 6th in Hiroshima, they have the commemorative ceremonies. And this year, the mayor said the United States worshipped nuclear weapons as God and blamed the United States for jeopardizing the global nuclear nonproliferation regime. The mayor said, quote, the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, the central international agreement guiding the elimination of nuclear weapons, is on the verge of collapse. The chief cause is U.S. nuclear policy that, by openly declaring the possibility of a preemptive nuclear first strike and calling for resumed research into mini-nukes and other so-called usable nuclear weapons, appears to worship nuclear weapons as God. It's much worse than that, Mr. Mayor. The Bush crime family does not believe in God. They worship at the arse of Satan. And they see these weapons as a way of cleansing all brown people, so-called yellow people, black people, and a lot of whites that don't agree with the way they agree. They worship at the arse of Satan, Mr. Mayor. This has nothing to do with God of any sort whatsoever. These people would put a knife in God's heart in a second. They would slash Jesus' throat in an instant. These people are sick. The mayor also slammed as unjust the U.S. War on Iraq, which he blamed for killing innocent civilians. And then he went on to talk about Bush and North Korean psychopath Kim Jong-il. He wanted both psychopaths, Bush and Kim Jong-il, to personally visit Hiroshima and confront the reality of nuclear war. Well, and then this, every year, you know how this works. As the clock clicked onto 8:15 a.m., the exact time the United States dropped the bomb on August 6, 1945, those at the ceremony, Hiroshima's Peace Memorial Park, bowed their heads for a minute's silence in memory of the victims of the attack. During the 45-minute ceremony, officials added 5,050 names to the register of victims who died immediately or from the after effects of radiation exposure in the bombing, bringing the total death toll to 231,920. The bombing of Nagasaki 3 days later on August 9th killed another estimated 74,000 people. Now, I remember learning that when I was in elementary school in the late 40s. And I think I have a memory of the day the Japanese surrendered. It just seems to me that in Toledo, Ohio, on that day, people were running in the streets and shouting and dancing and kissing, and which is certainly understandable. I mean, we'd been at war since we'd been attacked in 1941. We'd been at war for 4 years. We suffered thousands upon thousands of casualties. We're at 800-TALK-YES. Marge is calling from Maryville, Indiana. Hey, Marge.
Hi there.
Hi.
It's kind of a solemn note to follow.
Yeah, well.
What I was thinking about when you were talking earlier about the redistricting thing in Texas and the California governor recall.
Right.
And then we had the collection of 9 Democratic presidential candidates mm-hmm. gathered in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you suppose all the satellite TV trucks were in the last 24 hours?
Kobe Bryant.
Bingo. I mean, this is because we want to hear about this. I mean, all right, his life is a train wreck, and yeah, you may sort of take note in passing. But, I mean, all this other stuff is going on, and what does the media whores par excellence think that we're interested in?
Kobe Bryant.
Oh, jeez.
I know it's awful, and as far as Kobe Bryant and the woman who is involved in this situation, either willingly or as a rape victim, I don't know. I have no idea. I wasn't even sure, I think, until yesterday what all this was about until I saw something on the Internet, some synopsis of this, some less than 500-word synopsis or less than 200-word synopsis of what the hell is going on. I don't know Kobe Bryant from Adam's House Cat. I understand now, of course, that he played basketball for the L.A. Lakers. I guess it was the Lakers. You know more about this. You're more of a sports fan than I am, Marge. So this was a story to you that you knew these names. I didn't know these names, but you're right. The fact that we have a desperate effort going on in this country right now to reclaim common sense and our form of government from these neo-Nazis. And, oh, by the way, what happened to the Lacey Peterson case? Did that just get wiped off the front page by Kobe Bryant?
I guess so.
We just ricochet from murder to rape to murder to rape to slashing to murder to rape to disappeared sub-teenagers to murder to rape to slashing. It's really putrid. Really putrid.
Boy, is that the word? I mean, you know, it. I look at this and I want to scream. I want to grab somebody by the throat and just shake them till their teeth rattle,
mm-hmm.
and say, "What are you doing? You know, why are you spending so much time on this?" And then there was an editorial in today's Chicago Tribune about the idea that people are getting all overwrought. Because the big media confusion reigns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the people don't want to have the ownership of media consolidated into just a handful of people that decide what we want to hear.
Could it get worse than it already is, though?
Oh.
I mean, could it?
Well, you know, they're referencing the FCC ruling Michael Powell. That the they're going into Congress to do something about.
Yeah, now that's either been put on hold or Congress has determined, Republicans and Democrats, and they both have their reasons for not wanting this to happen, and the reasons are very similar. They're both operating, both parties, both interest groups are operating out of fear that the other side will gain an advantage, and their message, whatever mm-hmm. that message would be, it would be shut out. But of course, I mean, that's what civil libertarians have been talking about since the mid-90s when this nonsense occurred. That's what a lot of us have been talking about since the mid-80s when the Reagan crime family decided to end the Fairness Doctrine. I mean, how smart. Well, okay, I'm sorry. People not in media really didn't understand back in the 80s what this was all about because it was presented in a lying, filthy, disgusting Republican way.
I think a few of them are beginning to catch on because as
now,
the consolidation
yeah.
narrows down, a few of them, or more than a few, have lost their jobs. And if they haven't already lost them, they've lost their freedom, if you will, to go out and pursue things because, it's, you know, the boss doesn't want to pay
mm-hmm.
for investigative reporting.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
And one thing,
well, not only does he not want to pay or she not want to pay for investigative reporting, it's not allowed. You are not allowed. You know, the reason I was wiped off this Augusta, Georgia radio station is because a very prominent figure over there didn't like the fact that I was attacking George Bush. And it's my understanding that this prominent figure bought 2 years worth of time and to get my ass off the air. And now what you hear, if you listen to that station in Augusta, Georgia, is some kind of, what is it, Kathy, roots music of some sort?
Oh,
gospel,
really?
Gospel music, yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so it's just, I don't know what to say.
Money talks and you know what walks.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
The one thing that I would caution our collection of Democrats, and that goes for whatever office they're running, and God help me, I'm going to borrow this line from Ronald Reagan, the 11th commandment,
yeah.
speak no ill of a fellow Democrat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but our party's not constructed that way. We are not lockstep. We don't look for totalitarian leadership. We don't look for authoritarianism. The Democratic Party, as you know, Marge,
yeah.
is a ragtag bunch of people who have dragged this society kicking and screaming into the 20th, the 19th, the 20th, and the 21st century. It's been the Democratic Party that has provided all legislation that had anything to do with the betterment of the American family, the advancement of
social
everything. Everything that has been done in this country in a progressive sense has been done by Democrats.
I know the feeling.
But the Democratic Party is not, it's you know, the so-called party of the Big Ten. It is not a party, the members of the Democratic Party do not willingly or in a passive way take orders from the top down. We give orders from the bottom up. We expect our leaders to do what we want, whereas Republicans expect the sheep to do exactly what the leaders
mm.
want. And that's the difference. And the other part, of course, and I'm sure you know this, Marge, you've been around almost as long as I have.
Longer.
You don't have to scratch very deep in the soil of this country to find a real potential for fascism. We have always been so close to it, right on the verge of it, and it's always been Democrats, liberals, and progressives who have held back that tide of fascism.
You know, it's taken me a while to go through it because I can only read so much of it at a time, and that's this, The People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn.
There you go.
This is one book I cannot recommend too highly to everybody, you know, before the next election, and the sooner the better. Because, I mean, this kind of crap has been going on since day one.
Yeah, yeah, it sure has.
You know, it's hard.
It's been a constant struggle, by the forces of good.
And I was sitting and reading it, and I nearly laughed out loud when it came to the section about Grover Cleveland.
Right.
I mean, they were wondering whether he had how many illegitimate children and how many mistresses.
Yeah, what
was it? And I thought, my God, you know.
Mama, mama, where's my paw? Gone to the White House. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh.
That was what they used against Grover Cleveland. The Republicans used that against him. Mama, mama, where's my paw?
Their tactics haven't changed in 100 years.
Yeah, gone to the White House. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, no, it hasn't changed.
Originality, no new thinking,
Nope.
Renovations, no. Oh, crap.
Republicans are just pigs, and they always will be.
Don't
pigs.
Don't insult the pigs.
They always will be in the swill. And yeah, I agree with you. I think every citizen in this country, native-born or immigrant, should read Howard Zinn's book, People's History of the U.S. It should be required reading.
It is. It's really very enlightening. And in the constant struggle for people, for the working class.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Hey, listen, thanks, Marge.
It goes on forever. All right, take care.
All right, good to hear from you. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Tim is calling from Chicago. Hey, Tim.
Good evening.
How you doing?
Okay.
Good.
I just got back from the Dean meetup.
How'd it go?
Tonight's the big night. It was fun. I haven't been to one of these things before.
You know, tell me, a lot of people don't know how they work, even though Doonesbury tried to parody the Dean meetups. Tell us how they work.
Well, I didn't really know either, and I'm hardly an expert, but I guess I'm one ahead. There were three in Chicago, and I guess they're all over the country or maybe the world. And it's meetup.com on the internet. There's the website.
They do it for Kucinich, too, I believe.
Yeah, and I think Kerry's got a few.
Right.
But it's a website where people interested in various things like, you know, music groups and so forth, but especially Howard Dean. He's got tens of thousands of people on that website that sign up and meet. And so they meet every month. And
now, you meet an apartment, a house, a club, a bar?
Where? I think it varies. In my case here in Chicago, it was actually in Boys Town. It was at a bar. And that was the first, too.
Yeah, right. A first for you?
Yeah.
Hey, that's a great section of town.
Yeah, it is. It was terrific.
They got some of the better clubs over there. Kathy and I used to go dancing over at Boys Town all the time.
That's right.
For people that don't know Boys Town, it's like the gay mecca in Chicago. If that was your first trip to Boys Town, it's quite an experience.
And so it was fun, and there were, I guess, a couple hundred people there. And
now, what happens? Is there a moderator? Does somebody lead the meeting? Is there something on video?
Well, this was the neat part. Yes, there was a volunteer moderator, but also Joe Trippi was at this particular one. And I got to shake hands with Joe, campaign manager for Dean. That was pretty exciting, actually.
And then somebody, a spokesman for the Dean campaign in this case, conducts the meeting and handles the questions.
Right, a volunteer.
Okay.
Somebody who probably has been to three more than I have. But
this is great. This is grassroots politics at its most basic, and this may be the way to rupture the Republican deathlock on this country.
This is it. I mean, as long as we still count votes and not dollars, this is the way to do it.
Yeah. Did you come away learning anything new about Dean that you didn't know, or was it like a rally just to get the blood pumping?
I did. They actually show some videos. They have a couple news clips that they pick, and one of his ads they ran, the one that's running in Iowa. I hadn't seen that. And they also had about a 6 or 7 minute stump speech of his that was very good.
And a lot of enthusiasm, I would take it.
And yeah, a lot of enthusiasm. But people watching and listening intently, I think there were many people who, I would say about half of the people there hadn't been there because they asked that question, you know, raise your hand if you've been here before.
Well, that's great. Listen, Tim, there's the music. Thanks for the report, because I've been curious about how this worked, and you have just enlightened me. Thanks a lot, Tim.
Okay.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You're kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven we have our winner. To overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Show. Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer at the briefing today.
The job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad?
Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk. Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
Alrighty, then.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You'll be seeing a lot of changes around here.
The new weekend programming lineup is more entertaining than ever. Kicking off Saturday mornings with Doug Steffens' Talk Radio Countdown, followed by Bobby Likas Car Clinic. Then Saturdays are brightened with the informative antics of Animal Talk, followed by the home improvement experts on Home Improvement USA. If you've been wondering about that old so-called junk, then you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent, followed by Talking Pets with John Patch. Learn your job rights on Sunday mornings with the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. And the latest in the world of technology on Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. Ramblin' with Ramsey will fill you into the hot spots to travel, followed by the second installment of the funniest live animal talk show, Animal Talk.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious.
and don't call me Shirley.
For more information on these shows or other shows on IE America Radio Network, call 1-800-397-8255. But for now, listen to us live on IEAmericaRadio.com.
Doing talk radio right from the left, it's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, we're at 800-TALK-YES, if you'd like to join in. King David is calling from the Woodstock Nation. Hey, David.
Hello. We've gone from George Washington to Larry Flint and Arnold Schwarzenegger, which, you know, to pick up on Mort Saul's old line, what does this tell you? Darwin was wrong.
I know.
You know, it's just, you know, anyway, yesterday on Crossfire,
yeah,
the closing line that Robert Novak had, he said that Episcopalians who did not like gay clergy should leave their church because, quoting, the doors of the Catholic Church are open, end quote. Now, that tells me that the man might write a column for the Chicago Sun-Times, but he has not read a single copy of that newspaper in the past 2 years.
Right. Novak is either just totally schizophrenic, or he's playing a massive game. He can write some stuff sometimes. It sounds like it comes from the pen of someone like Jim Hightower. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, he makes his money and his reputation for the most part as being this flaming right-wing neo-fascist, and it's hard to know. That's who he is about 95% of the time. Then the other 5% of the time, he comes out of the closet, so to speak, and he sounds like a progressive or somebody with common sense. So I don't know. Novak is a freak when he's on that program, though, that television program.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and I mean this sincerely, I was listening to him today, and for a moment, I was pretty concerned. I thought he was, no joke here, I thought he was having a stroke during the program, because all of a sudden, the way he was pronouncing his words sounded very much like somebody who was having a massive hematoma in their brain somewhere. And I'm not trying to be cute or funny or smartass here. You know, I wouldn't wish that on
anybody.
On Novak. Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Well, okay.
but I wouldn't wish it on Novak. But he was, the way he was saying his words, it was like mush, and it was just like, and I said to Kathy, look at this, listen to this. And then we got involved in something else, so I don't know what happened subsequent to the program.
Okay. How much time before the break?
About 30 seconds. Why don't I put you on hold and I'll come back to you?
Okay, yeah.
All right, we'll do that. Stay with us. We are. We do have a quick break here. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do being on the tractor as much time as I do or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer?
Yeah,
you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Iran's official news agency in Tehran has held positive and constructive talks with the UN's nuclear watchdog agency this week. The nuclear agency is trying to get Iran to sign up to stricter inspections of its nuclear sites. Roxana Saberi reports from Tehran.
Iran's official news agency is reporting that both Tehran and experts from the International Atomic Energy Agency have found their talks positive and constructive. The experts are in Tehran to discuss the possibility of Iran agreeing to unannounced and more intrusive inspections. Iran has come under increasing international pressure to sign the protocol to ease accusations it's pursuing nuclear weapons. But Iran's president is reiterating that possessing a nuclear weapon is not part of Iran's political or military strategy. At the same time, Mohammad Khatami says his country will not stop developing nuclear technology for peaceful uses. Iran has pledged to cooperate with the Atomic Energy Agency, which is due to release another report on Iran in September. Roxana Saberi, Tehran.
It's day four of extended negotiations between Verizon and the Communication Workers of America. There are slightly different versions of how well the talks are going between Verizon management and the union. Verizon management says bargainers have agreed to a basic framework on all the major issues and are in the process of finalizing many of the contract documents. The Communication Workers of America says a new contract is no closer to reality than it was 24 hours ago. Meanwhile, Verizon workers are still on the job after their contract expired last weekend.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
TV talk show host Jerry Springer has decided not to run for the U.S. Senate as a Democrat in Ohio. Springer is a former mayor of Cincinnati and a TV news anchorman. He told a Columbus news conference that he could not succeed in getting his message past the clutter of his controversial show. He didn't rule out a future run for public office and has said he understands that he could not seek public office while also doing his talk show. Springer's show often features taunting, trash-talking guests and fisticuffs before studio audiences. Former Hollywood Madam Heidi Fleiss took the stand again on the second day of testimony in the trial against actor Tom Sizemore. Richard Santiago reports.
The Saving Private Ryan co-star faced 16 charges of domestic violence, threats, and harassment. Fleiss testified about an incident at a hotel where she said she thought she was going to die after he punched her in the face and choked her. Prosecutors played phone messages to the jury where Sizemore insults Fleiss, calling her a whore and retarded, and saying he would make sure she went back to jail. In Los Angeles, I'm Richard Santiago.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
A public hearing has been set against the owner of the Nevada company behind the Hunting for Bambi controversy. City Attorney Brad Jerbick says a second amended complaint has been filed against Lakana Campbell, the listed owner of Real Men Outdoor Productions. Real Men drew headlines and controversy this summer when it claimed to have sold videos depicting male hunters shooting naked women with paintballs in the southern Nevada desert. City officials want to revoke Campbell's business license, claiming her reported fiancé, Michael Burdick, operates the business. The city also claims Real Men is a front for an escort service. The Las Vegas City Council could decide to revoke Campbell's business license next month. Burdick has been cited for operating a business without a license. The hearing is set for September 3rd. It was a mixed day on Wall Street today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 25 points to 9061. The NASDAQ was down 21 to 1652. The S&P 500 was up 1.5 to 967. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. What could the Lost in Space robot and Star Wars R2-D2 have in common with a phenomenon called dieseling? Will Robinson and Luke Skywalker know, and when I come back, I'll tell you.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing. For Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti, there's one more key to racing. Champion spark plugs. They race different makes of cars. Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion spark plugs.
Just like Will and Luke have some far-fetched friends to warn them of impending danger, your car has ways to warn you of the impending danger of neglected maintenance. One tune-up red flag is dieseling. Known as afterrun, dieseling occurs when an engine chugs on after the ignition is turned off. Causes? Inferior gas, excessive idle speed, and carbon in the combustion chamber. Dieseling is just one warning that, if neglected, may leave you lost in space. The space alongside the road. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Boy, if you missed the first 2 hours of the program tonight, God, did you miss a lot of fun. There's still just pizza and beer all over the floor and the walls in here. It's just unbelievable. But we were talking with King David, who has called in from the Woodstock Nation. Go ahead, David.
Okay. Do I dare ask which brand of beer or not really?
It's just some off-brand, whatever we get for $3 a six-pack.
Understood. Yeah. there's something that popped up over the weekend kind of raised a red flag with me in a couple of news stories that I saw. I noticed that there was a story on the NBC News on Sunday about an apartment complex, a luxury apartment complex that was being built in San Diego that apparently had been had burned down during construction, and they were blaming it on radical environmentalists.
I think I heard about that, yeah.
And in the same report, there was mention, I guess, of last year, there was a ski lift out in Vail, Colorado that had been burned down, supposedly, if not by the same organization, by the same type of people.
Yeah, the ELF, Earth Liberation Front.
Right. And there was the following morning, I was watching news on satellite out of Los Angeles, and there, apparently there were a batch of Starbucks coffee places in San Francisco that were hit.
Right.
That was being blamed on some radical environmentalists.
Are we beginning to see a pattern here?
Within that 24-hour period, I began to, because being a bit of a history buff, I remember that, well, what was it that allowed Adolf Hitler to declare martial law?
Well, it was the communists, the Jews, and the socialists. They were causing all the trouble.
The specific act that gave them the key, that the Nazis the key to do that, was...
Oh, you're talking about the Reichstag fire?
Yeah, the Reichstag fire.
Right.
Marinus van der Lubbe was the name of the guy that they charged for it. I don't know whether or not they actually he actually had a hand in it, or he was just a convenient enough Oswald of his time.
Right.
But it would not surprise me, considering what the last Bush administration tried to do with Daryl Cherney and Judy Berry with Earth First.
I'm drawing a blank on that. What?
They were a couple of environmental activists that were involved in the issue of clear cutting.
Right, and weren't they recently
up in Humboldt County? I think it was.
They were recently found to have been completely innocent, am I confusing them with someone else?
I don't know if it was recently. Especially considering that I think Judy Berry passed away about 5 years ago.
Okay, maybe I was just reading something that was rehashing that case. Yeah,
but their car. A car they were riding in
was bombed. That's right. That's the part I remember. Yeah.
And in the process of investigating what all was going on, the FBI...
They tried to say that these two were transporting dynamite or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And considering Bush 1 tried to do that, I wouldn't put it past Bush 2. Bush 2, I'm sorry. Nothing about him is true. I'm sorry.
Right.
I have to catch myself there for a moment.
But it's true that Bush is a thief, a liar, a thug, and a murderer. And,
And he will use the flimsiest of excuses and manufacture better ones if he can't come up with good ones on his own.
Sure. Absolutely. You may be on to something here, David.
And so, be careful if you're an environmentalist. You might wind up being at Santiago.
That's very true. Thanks, David.
Or Guantanamo. Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for checking in. Yeah, God forbid we should have eco-terrorists, right? Don't you like that term, ecological terrorists?
There will be clean air, or I'll kill you.
God. That's what they want you to believe, the right wing. Email here from Steve. Mike, I've listened to your show now for 3 or 4 weeks. I was instantly attracted to your dynamic style and the not-so-popular opinions expressed by you and the callers. It gives me something to think about that I don't get from the New York Times or CNN. Thank you for that. But I find myself getting bored with your show's redundant format. The format seems to consist of you stating some news that you encountered from TV, radio, or the Internet. Then you and the callers, mostly you, though, spend so much time being angry, throwing insults. That's fine and relieving some of the time, but after a while it doesn't feel like that campfire where we're all supposed to gather to share our thoughts, as you stated, as the show's purpose. It starts to sound like a one-man mic monopoly. Mike is in microphone. Mike, I think what you're doing is great, but find time to get other people on your show. Don't wait for the Republicans. Invite them on. Do phone interviews. I enjoyed the Kucinich and the Christian Wright interviews. We got to hear someone else besides you monopolize the show. I know it's a Mike Malloy show, but grant us some variety. Mint chocolate even gets old after the third helping. Sorry if this criticism hurts. I just think you have something good going, but could be even better. A listener, Steve. Also, when people call in, let them speak. OPS. Also, when people call in, let them speak, you often cut them off and dominate the call. Remember, they've waited for a long time on hold to be heard. Okay, where do I begin? I don't do interviews. Okay, this is not an interview program. This network provides that. my friend Peter Werby, until he was fired, provided lots of interviews. Tom Hartman does now. The show that's on immediately before this one, All American Radio, what is it? Is that what it is, Kathy? Since we can't get it unless we go to the Internet, and I'm too busy then. They do interviews. I don't do interviews. I think interviews constitute really, really bad talk radio. NPR does interviews. Occasionally, I will do an interview. But for the most part, I just don't do them. Again, I think it's bad talk radio. So if it's interviews you want, you won't find them here. Occasionally, we will have a Dennis Kucinich or Greg Palast or the freak from the Christian Right. But those times are few and far between. Hearing someone besides me monopolize the show, I don't know how to respond to that. I do monopolize the show. You're absolutely right. It's me and the callers, or I should say it's the callers and I. Okay? Again, that's the format. That's the way it is. That's the way it shall continue to be. You also say when people call in, let them speak. You often cut them off and dominate the call. I really disagree. Sometimes I have to step in and end the call or put folks on hold. I hold people over for breaks, which, as far as I know, no other talk show host in America does that. Because it's not in the Radio Formatics book on talk radio. You should never, ever hold a caller over a break. Bad talk radio. But I do it because I feel it's sometimes it's necessary for people to get out what they want to say. I try not to do it a whole lot, but I still do it. You write, I often cut people off and dominate the call. You're wrong. I do not cut people off. I simply don't. And as far as dominating the call, well, duh, I dominate the call in the same manner that Paula Zahn dominates her program when she's interviewing whomever. That's just the nature of programming. Somebody has to be in charge. I'm sorry, but that's the way it goes. So I hope this answers it for you. A lot of people say, well, you're nothing more than a left-wing Rush Limbaugh. Okay, that's fine. I have no problem with that. This is the way I've done talk radio in the years I've been in it, which compared to some people haven't been that long, about 14 years. But this is the way I do it. This is what's comfortable for me, and this is what I'll continue to do. And I really do believe that for the people who are not comfortable with this type of programming, you'll find something else to listen to. I'm not disinviting you to tune into this program at all. Those programs that you're talking about do exist on this network. All you have to do is just tune in at different times during the day. But what I do on this network is unique on this network. Nobody else on this network does what I do. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. It's just the way I do the program. So I hope that explains it for you. I do see this as a campfire. That's another reason I don't like to have guests. I like people who listen to the program to not have to sit there and wait for 25 minutes till somebody gets finished an interview. It's hard enough. You're absolutely right. Sometimes people hold on to get on this program for over an hour. There's not a whole lot I can do about that. It's just the nature of this program. Okay? So it is, I still feel it's like, the so-called electronic or cyber campfire or over-the-air campfire where people get together at the end of the day. And do I draw on articles? Yeah. I mean, what the hell do you want me to do? Do you want me to come on here? What am I supposed to talk about? What are we supposed to talk about if it's not about those things that we encounter from TV, radio, or the Internet? I mean, hello? That's what this program's about. I mean, that's like calling Peter Jennings and saying, well, all you do on your program is talk about things that happen during the day. Duh. Yeah, that's how it works. So, Steve, I'm glad you're a listener. I appreciate your comments, but I pretty thoroughly reject your criticisms. Okay? There's nothing really here. I wanted to share your letter with the audience, but there's really nothing in what you wrote that would lead me to change the format of the program. It's just not my nature. It's not what I do. Okay? Okay. And again, one last P.S. here. The type of program that you want to hear is on this radio network every day at, when does Tom come on? Noon? Tom Hartman, has an excellent program. He's a published author. He's very bright. He's brighter than I am. He has great interviews with very interesting people. And he doesn't scream and rant and rave and say bad words. So that might be what you want to do. Switch from this program to Tom Hartman's. And his and my political points of view are pretty much in aligned. Tom Hartman is a damn fine progressive. But he may be doing the type of program that you would like to hear, Steve. So I strongly recommend you switch over to Tom Hartman. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Can I introduce a catheter? Siphon up your life.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
great.
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. I've read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling the 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
Mike Malloy Show weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Truth, justice, and the American way with Mike Malloy.
What? 24 past the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number here. Alvin is calling from Augusta. Hey, Alvin.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Hey, I'm doing.
You know, I called to talk about one thing, but I want to talk about something different.
Okay.
And I'm glad that you do the program the way you do it, because when I tune in, I'm getting exactly what I want to hear. I want something that counterbalances all that crap that passes as news and as...
Yeah, I think so. And I appreciate Steve's email. But like I said, you know, we have programs on this network that will provide him exactly what he wants.
I think he was very tasteful and very tactful in his, you know,
yeah,
critique of the
yeah,
show. But
me too.
But, I agree with you. I like exactly what you're doing. So those of us out here, Steve,
okay,
get exactly what we want. I think we are a number of guys like you. Okay. Kind of a funny story, Mike. I work in a building that's about 8 floors, and there's a building manager. And a lot of times I'm working there late at night, and so he'll come in sometime and he'll start talking. So about 2 months ago, he comes in, he starts sharing his personal life with me, you know. So we're kind of talking guy talk, you know. So he started talking about this lady that works at the building that's on my floor. And, he wants to get into her pants, right?
So, and Alvin, be a little cool here.
I'm going to keep it real cool.
All right.
I'm not going to get too deep into it. But that's the gist of his comments. He's married, you know.
Yeah.
So, but we're the only ones in the building, so this guy talks. I'm laughing and I'm listening, you know.
Right.
And some of the things, I'm no choir boy. I've been in bands. I've traveled most of the country,
right,
you know. And you can imagine, you know, the amount of groupies that I've encountered over 47 years. So, but I'm married now, and, you know, that's kind of behind me.
Sure.
But he's sharing this with me, so I'm listening and laughing. So he keeps on talking. So over a period of time, he stopped by now several times. So eventually he tells me about his wife and how he met his wife, and they lived together for a while. And he found out later on that she was bisexual. And eventually she starts, I'm kind of, you know, normally you talk about that kind of stuff. You don't bring the wives into it. So he's bringing this stuff up. The wife is bisexual. He's hoping one day she'll involve him in some of this, you know. And so I'm like, shocked, you know.
Now, I think I know what the punchline is going to be. It's coming. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So tonight I'm there in the building, and I took I record a lot of your programs.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes when I'm traveling on the road, I'll listen back to them or I'll share them with people.
Right.
And the one where you had Bush, where he comes out, he's been in with Sharon.
Yeah.
And he's talking about terrorism, and it's just hilarious to me.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes in, so I play it for him, and he listens to it. He turns it off. You know, it's playing on the tape player. He's over there by himself listening to it. I'm working on paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
He turns off. He's mad. He says, that guy who's criticizing our president, why, I bet he never went to Harvard and graduated like our president. I said, well, the guy's name, I won't call his name. I'll say Sam. I said, but Sam, can you argue with what he's saying? I mean, does that make sense, what the president's saying there?
Right.
He said, well, that's beside the point. And he goes on with all this stuff. He said, we had Clinton in there while he was a sex fanatic. So I forgot what you said, Mike. That these people are mind-boggling, just full of hypocrisy.
See, I knew you were going to say that. I knew what the punchline of this story was going to be.
You knew that?
That old Sam...
out of your mouth. I told him, I said, that's your comment out of your mouth.
Oh, my God. Well, he loves George Bush, so, you know. And that damn old Clinton, you know, Clinton was a sex maniac, right?
A sex maniac. And I forgot to tell you, when he was telling me all this about his wife and how he helped the wife with involvement, he tells me about some new beast that's in Florida that they've been to.
Hey, Alvin, thanks for checking in.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
You have a nice evening. Oh, my God. I just had a feeling what the punchline was going to be to that story. Thank you, Alvin. They all say she's crazy. Locking grins on the street. right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller. Not rain, nor sleet, nor snow can stop the Postal Service from its appointed rounds, but according to the American Postal Workers Union, a government panel just might. This week, Postal Union President William Burris blasted a presidential commission on Postal Service reform. The commission recommends creating a postal regulatory board whose politically appointed members would have the authority to set postage rates and even open parts of the Postal Service to competition. The unions also worried proposed changes would undermine the collective bargaining rights of postal employees.
The problems continue for Nigeria's oil industry. In addition to an ongoing peaceful occupation of a pumping station by Nigerian women, four oil workers have been kidnapped in the last month. The latest occurred on Friday. Two of the country's largest refineries are shut down due to renewed ethnic violence in the Delta region and a shortage of fuel oil in the country is becoming so dire that the president of the Nigeria Labor Congress says as many as 500,000 people may be thrown out of work when factories begin running dry. That could start as early as this week. Meanwhile, fuel oil exports continue at an unabated pace.
Whether or not it's legal, 325 nurses in Easton, Pennsylvania are walking a picket line outside Lehigh Valley Hospital this week. Nurses with the United Independent Union struck just after midnight on Monday, fed up with negotiations that have failed to replace a contract which expired 2 months ago. The hospital insists the strike is illegal and has filed charges with the National Labor Relations Board, but the nurses say they gave a 10-day strike notice as required by law. The union says an offer of a 12% wage increase next year isn't enough to offset a rollback in overtime protection, sick days, vacation days, and other benefits.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
stop. A few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Where else?
Well, you know what she meant. 27 before the hour. Dave is driving in South Carolina, listening to the program on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Dave. Hey, Dave. All right, Dave, I'll put you back on hold. Maybe you're in a bad cell or something. Where are we? Jack is calling from Naperville. Now, this is the person we talked to the other night about Kucinich at the Fat Bean coffee shop, right?
Oh, man, it was a blast.
What happened?
I couldn't believe it. We had 10 o'clock in the morning. We have everything set up. And we didn't tell anybody about this except on your program. And we didn't do any publicizing, so when I talked to his campaign manager, she said, listen, we don't want to put on a facade for the cameras. We don't want him dancing around with little old women and kissing babies. We want him to come in and have breakfast like anyone else would have breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Word of mouth travels fast because we had 50 to 60 people in this little coffee shop.
Wow.
And we had 8 members of the press there. All the The local newspapers from Naperville, Downers Grove, Aurora, you name it, were there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. We made the front page of every local newspaper in this area.
Were they surprised to see that many people show up? Word of mouth is pretty powerful, especially when folks know that someone like Kucinich is going to be.
Well, I don't know if it's true or not, but the story goes that his political advisors told him not to show up because Naperville is one of the most Republican places in the country.
Isn't that Henry Hyde territory?
I think a section of it is.
He's
Wheaton.
He's DuPage County. Is Naperville in DuPage County?
It's somewhat in DuPage. It's also in Will County.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
So it's back and forth. But he came into O'Hare Airport at 5 o'clock in the morning, and he was an hour late, and no one left, even after waiting for an hour for the man.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in with his political entourage, and it was great. He had a little breakfast. He gave a really great speech for about a half hour, took questions, and I asked him, I wanted to tell you a funny story about it. We also have a story time in the morning for all the soccer moms who come in with their children, and
mm-hmm.
we forgot to cancel it. We're in the middle of it. So we have all these Republican soccer moms and all of these hippie tree-hugging grassroots campaigners going on here for Kucinich. And actually, it's more eclectic than that.
Did any of the Republican moms stick around?
They stuck around outside. It was kind of funny because everyone and their kids were just waiting out there for story time to happen at 11:30 because we postponed it.
Right.
And I was sitting out there, and I heard one of them look at the sign we had. We said, "Welcome to Kucinich," and they said, "Kucinich." Now, that's a name I'm going to remember. And I almost lost it. I almost forgot myself, and I wanted to turn around, and I wanted to say, yeah, just like Blagojevich, because they really forgot about him at the
right.
polls too, right?
Right. He's the new governor, for folks who don't know, the new Democratic governor of the state of Illinois.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun, and he shook hands. He was just he's a really great speaker, and he really gets his views across. I asked him the question that you wanted to ask, and that was, why haven't you impeached George
mm-hmm.
W. Bush?
Right.
And, you know, I have to tell you something. I have to agree with what he said. And he said, "I have two words for you." I'm like, "Yes?" He goes, "Dick Cheney." And he goes, "You know, you're not going to push out the administration by getting rid of Bush. And, more importantly, you have a Republican Congress. I mean, they're not going to impeach him in the House. And if the House, for some reason, was able to do so, the Senate's not going to convict him."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Ultimately, if you do this at this point, you're going to distract voters and you're going to distract the media from the Democrats trying to unseat the man to this thing that probably won't be successful." And he goes, "Well, at this point, let's not look too far in the future, but at this point, let's try to work on 2004.
Mm-hmm. Well, that answer makes sense, and I know that in my head. In my heart, it's the seed of my emotions, and this is a terrible way to respond to a political situation like the Bush crime family has put upon us, but in my emotional state, it doesn't make sense to me that this man and his whole gang is still in office. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Kucinich's answer is right. It would never fly in a Republican-controlled Congress, first of all. Secondly, anyone who did introduce articles of impeachment, I've thought about this since I asked you to ask the question, or I've been asking the question, you know, why not Kucinich? Why not Barbara Lee? Why not Waxman? Why not somebody introduce a bill of impeachment against these thugs? And the truth is what Kucinich said, what I should have known, I'm sure you knew, that it's not going to work. And media would immediately swoop down on this and once again start painting successfully painting the Democrats as a bunch of hysterics, when in fact it's just the opposite is the case. The Republicans are running this country as though they were hysterics. And it's a lose-lose situation. I just hope. My fervent hope, Jack, is that folks will put a Democrat in the White House and Democrats in control of the House and the Senate in 2004. That's the bottom line for me.
Well, I look at it this way. Hopefully, it's too early in the election to look at Kucinich's poll numbers and say, well, he's unelectable.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, he can garner the support of the Greens, which will give him a great organizational base,
mm-hmm.
and that he can take off with more of what Dean is doing with the internet and just local grassroots work.
Mm-hmm.
He's got it there. And you listen to the debates when he goes and he approaches the podium, the applause and the cheering, and when he does his local he's stumping in his local grounds here, and the people just come out for him. I mean, we had just at this little coffee shop. We had people all the way from Springfield who came.
Wow.
And saw it. And then afterwards, he went over to Aurora for a fundraiser lunch, in which he stayed there for a little bit. And that was good. There was about 100, 200 people who showed up.
I wonder if our bureau chief in Aurora, Marianne, was there.
Not Marianne. I heard, I spoke with him over the Internet, but Ben was there.
Ben,
For White Rose Society.
White Rose Society, right, yeah.
But I'm not, I don't know Marianne.
Well, she's a nuclear physicist, and she may have been at work. I know some of the projects she's been working on have either been completed or canceled. I'm not sure what her employment status is right now, but Marianne is somebody who works there at the, is it the Fermi Nuclear Research Facility
out
there?
Okay.
Yeah.
I've spoken to her before on another occasion for something different. Now that I think about it,
right.
I didn't recall the name. But no, I didn't see her there. I'm sure there was a lot of people though, so it wasn't like I could count heads or whatnot. But it was pretty successful. It wasn't $2,000 a plate for White Castle hamburgers, that's for sure.
Right.
But
so
I
have to ask you, what did he have for breakfast? Just coffee and a sweet roll, or
No. We set this man up with a good breakfast. Actually, this is all to do with the owner of the place, who loves cuisine dearly. We had vegan muffins because he's a vegan.
Oh, that's right.
We had vegan oatmeal, homemade, so as the muffins as well. And then we have a big fruit platter for him.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, he was so busy talking to everybody and giving his speeches and whatnot that he had to take it with him. He ate it in the car as he went over to Aurora for his luncheon.
Then
he didn't even have lunch.
Yeah.
And they noticed of that.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt or any question, I should say, that Kucinich is dedicated to this. He's not in this on a basis of a dilettante or a poseur. He's really, I think he sees his own candidacy as a just and justifiable venture. And I think he's so dedicated to this. That's the impression I get. I think some of these other politicians, with the exception of Dean, I think Dean is dedicated too. But when I look at some of these other guys, I'm sorry. It just seems like, oh, yawn. Okay. Is it time to run for president? Okay. You know, Lieberman, even Kerry. I know a lot of people listen to this program are Kerry supporters. And if it comes down to Bush and Kerry, I'm voting for Kerry. But, Lieberman, Gephardt, who else is involved? Who are career politicians?
Bob Graham.
Al Sharpton's not a career politician, nor is Carol Moseley Braun. But the career politicians, there's no fire there. It just seems like, Whereas with Dean and Kucinich, these are two people who really, truly, in my opinion anyway, seem to be dedicated to what they're doing, and they are serious as a heart attack.
Let me ask you something. This is what I've been telling people who say, listen, we need to vote for Dean and not Kucinich, because Kucinich is unelectable. It's my feeling that, say, Kucinich doesn't win, and I'm still thinking at this point there's a possibility he's a long shot, but he can do it, but say he doesn't win. If he shows strong enough support, it's my fear that Dean, once he gets into the general election, will go more to the center. And that if he sees that there's a strong contingency of people who are going towards the liberal left, if you want to call it that way, he has to respect that and kind of know his home.
Well, first of all, Dean has never identified himself as a liberal. As a matter of fact, he's tried to make people understand that he is not a traditional liberal. He is a powerful a Democrat from the leftward, left-center branch of the party. But he himself has said he's not a liberal. If you look at his policies, if you look at his positions, they are not liberal positions. As far as electability at this point, who's to say? I would have no problem voting for Dean. He's more conservative than I am. I would have no problem voting for Kucinich. He and I pretty much agree on just about everything, but it's still too early. I want to see what happens. If Kucinich does win the nomination for the Democratic Party, then I think he is electable.
I'll quit school and just to campaign for him.
Yeah, it's whether or not, if Dean wins the Democratic Party nomination, he is electable. Now, if Lieberman wins,
I don't think he is electable. As a matter of fact, I will stake my radio career on the fact that Lieberman is not. And that has to do, aside from whatever feelings I might have about his politics, this is America 2004. If Lieberman's going to run as a Democrat, he will lose the entire South because he's Jewish. There is so much bigotry and contempt in the society for people of color, for people who happen to be gay, for people who are Jewish. In some areas, there's an awful lot of contempt for people who are Catholic.
And let's face it, why vote for Lieberman when you can vote for the real Republican in the race, right?
Well, that's the point. That's the point. Why vote for Gephardt when you can vote for the real Republican?
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Dean's poll numbers right now are spiking too quickly, that this opens him up for... media to attack him?
I don't know how that all works. I said earlier this week that I was a little bit suspicious to see Dean on the cover of all three weekly news magazines, almost as though corporate America decided this is the guy that we're going to put out there because Bush can beat him. Now, I don't know. I am not that adroit or that understanding of how all this behind-the-scenes crap works. I think if Dean and or Kucinich were given a fair shake by the media, either one of them have a chance, or I should say both of them, have a chance of securing the Democratic Party nomination. And if either one of them does secure that nomination, I think both of them have a very good chance of throwing this gang of thugs out of the executive branch. I believe that. I truly believe that. Dean or Kucinich.
How do you feel about the Greens right now?
I've always appreciated what the Green Party stands for.
Do you think they should run someone though in 2004?
Do you think
that they should go along with a Kucinich or Dean?
Well, again, I can't. I think the Greens have got to do what they think is right. I can't. If the survival of the country is at stake, then the Greens have to figure that out for themselves, and back. A liberal Democrat or somebody that agrees with them. But you can't ask the Green Party to back someone that they don't agree with any more than someone could ask you or me to back someone we don't agree with. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I like how you think, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, that's just fair. That's the way it works. And I would hope that the Democrats will adopt Green Party platform planks, which is what Kucinich seems to want to do. But the Green Party is nothing more than real Democrats. I mean, Jesus, that's so, isn't it? I mean, isn't that pretty much the case?
I agree. I think so.
Greens are Democrats who have not been corporatized.
Well, their national convention is this weekend, I think, or it's next week, or it's coming up. And
the Greens.
The Greens, yes, their convention, and Kucinich is one of the headline speakers there.
Well, I'll be very curious to see what happens here.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, thanks, Jack. Thanks for the report. Thanks for the conversation, and we'll talk to you another time.
I'll be looking forward to the next one, man.
All right, sir. Take care. I would like to meet Dennis Kucinich, Kathy. I'd like to meet Dr. Dean too. Surely, both of them are going to speak here at Emory, or maybe Georgia State. I would think Emory would be more the setting for both of these candidates. But I would love to hear them both live. You know, just sit back in the auditorium and absorb. Joanne is calling from Camden, Maine. Joanne, this is your first time calling the program?
Second time.
Well, welcome aboard again.
Yeah, well, I did have an opportunity to see Howard Dean speak in Camden.
Yeah?
And he's great. He's wonderful. He's absolutely superb. I've headed up a meetup group here in Mid-Coast.
Uh-huh.
And the enthusiasm about this guy is just unbelievable.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Both of these men, Howard Dean, and I would suspect Howard Dean more in the Northeast than Dennis Kucinich, since that...
Dennis Kucinich has a lot of support up here as well.
Does he?
However, Dean is more electable. He's attractive. I saw him firsthand. He is just... he's on. He's mm-hmm. on. He looks good.
Mm-hmm.
And he says what he's building into is the anger among Democrats that our Democratic representative since Bush was pushed in by the Supreme Court. They buckled to this guy. What they should have been doing is fighting him.
Absolutely.
And there are so many people out here. Dean, when Dean speaks out against the war, yes.
Mm-hmm.
When he speaks out against other Bush policies, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because no Democrat has had the guts to do so. We also had Molly Ivins up here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to hear her speak, and, well, you know Molly. As
oh, love her to
death.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
about Molly Ivins.
Yeah, love her to death. Love her to death.
We filled every seat in a 500-seat auditorium.
That's great. Yeah, I love to hear Molly Ivins speak. More than that, though, I love to read her writings. Hey, there's the music. Joanne, thank you. I appreciate you checking in.
Okay.
All right, you take care. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, "At a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore"? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, "To people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
A little self-centered.
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided.
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a cave.
today with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff. But what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show. And you're abusing it. And I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network. For more information, go to ieamericaradio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Doing talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Here's Dave driving through South Carolina that we had a problem connecting with a little earlier on. You're listening on Sirius Satellite Radio, right, Dave?
Yes, yes. How are you doing tonight?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. I really enjoy your program a lot. Just gets me going about 90 miles an hour down the interstate. Anyway, as you know, I'm in sales, and I call on a lot of manufacturing companies, and it's always interesting. One of the things that I wanted to bring up was that I hate to throw water on the campfire, so to speak, with Percentage and Dean. I think they're great, great people, but if we don't do something with the media, and I think Al Gore, did he come up with something about starting some type of network, a democratic network or something with the radio or the media?
Yeah, he may get involved on some level with a new radio or television network, but you never know. So much of the stuff, you hear about it, and then nothing materializes.
Well, I'm really hoping that we can do something in that area because I think your caller from Augusta kind of summed it up, and I'm running across the same stuff. I was listening to Ollie North, you know, the biggest thug of all,
right,
and the guy's running a radio station, and he had these callers, and they were trying to support this tax cut, Bush's tax cut, and I was listening to the way he manipulates and handles some of these people, and this old guy that's on disability calls in and says, yeah, man, millionaires, they deserve a tax cut, too. Now, do you think Rupert Murdoch goes to Sears and buys a robot? I mean, does he go out and buy vacuum cleaners and dishwashers and stuff?
I wouldn't think.
I don't. I think he buys people. He buys companies. You know, he doesn't buy things. But you know, you listen to Ollie North, and he makes it sound like, you know, yeah, he goes to McDonald's and orders coffee just like everybody else.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what I'm kind of concerned about is the disinformation and misinformation being promoted by these right-wing radio stations. You know, we lost Pilotex up in North Carolina, and, of course, that was, 5,000 jobs? But 80% of those people voted for Bush.
Sure.
They had no idea that Bush had anything to do with the economy or anything like that.
Well, yeah, I like it when Bush goes out to talk about the economy and he stands in front of a carefully selected group of usually manufacturing workers who are about to lose their jobs because of Bush's policies.
Right.
Hey, listen, Dave, there's the music, pal. We're out of time.
All right. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
And keep up the good work.
I hope you call in again when we have more time to chat.
Good deal. Thanks.
All right, sir. Drive safely. Program tonight, as always, produced by Catherine Bay, engineered in Detroit by Charlotte Jones. Our announcer is Robin Bittman. Thanks to Mark Marshall, MaximumInteractive.com, our webmaster. And, of course, as always, to Jim, our Arkansas Music Bureau Chief. I'll see you tomorrow, y'all. I hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
This is IE America Radio Network News.